Praise God, we made it back for another show. It's Saturday. I'm Chris, your host of the Christopher Scott Show. And it's Saturday. What does that mean? It means it's Saturday, pretty much. The beginning of the weekend, I guess you could say. It's not only a day that we podcast, which is why I bring it up. And I want to just talk a little second why we've been doing these 7 days a week here. Not really by design. It's been kind of rolling with the information that I have. Rolling through my swipe file, everything that I get that seems like it has value, I just put in the swipe file. And normally what happens at the end of the week or so, loosely, I pull out the stories that I want to use and throw out the rest. And I made a conscious decision that I was going to really pull back on the throwing out of the rest, meaning that, hey, some of these B and C stories have as much relevance as the A stories. And what do I mean by that? Well, like the bridge collapse, of course you got to talk. I didn't really want to talk about it. I was way late coming to that party, if you look back on it. I guess it was important to discuss it from a multitude of fronts. But my point is, a story like that naturally is going to take front and center. If it bleeds, it leads. You know, if it goes boom, it leads. If it starts with a B, I think bridge, bloodbath, blood, it's going to lead. Okay. B leads in news, I guess. I'm joking around about that, but you understand what I'm saying. But there's a lot of other things going on that people aren't paying attention to. And even the bridge story itself, I explained to you. I said, you know, the bigger story, in my opinion, is that the federal government, our government agencies just completely failed in their task at modernizing our infrastructure. They're running ships in there that for years have been way bigger than the bridge was designed. Nobody seemed to say a word, or maybe they did. We didn't hear about it. Maybe they were ran out of town like all the rest of the whistleblowers. How dare you speak up? You say it, you just support the regime. And this is the problem with the uniparty rule. Let's stay on point for a second. My point is that people become so distracted, like myself, kind of funny, right? That you miss the bigger point. The bigger point is the federal government's not taking care of our infrastructure. The government in general is not taking care of our infrastructure. And I'm going to tell you that there are huge repercussions of that. Huge. People don't understand. You know, I've been interviewing some Vietnam veterans over on our Project Chaos channel. If you haven't checked it out, projectchaos.org. We've got a radio station and a podcast here in Philadelphia, and we interview veterans and we tell the true stories of what happened and their experiences. And it's just been unbelievable. But anyway, as I am interviewing these Vietnam guys, the country, as best I can tell, and I don't know Vietnamese history real well and don't have any intentions of really digging real deep into it. But as best as I can tell, this area, they overspent the fiat money. It was too easy for the politicians. And eventually it led to a breakdown of socialism. People needed to eat, I guess. And in the process, the people became really nasty. But the point that I wanted to make to you is that in many parts of Vietnam, you hear the stories, there was no toilets, there was no running water. And when there's a lot of people around, you need to understand what that means. Stench and filth to the nth degree. People have no idea. You have no idea how important a functioning sewer system is, that the modern technology, and it's not even new, there's been some changes to it. You want to know what the new modern technique for cleaning the water? UV technology they're using. Doesn't that sound fancy? We call it sunlight around here. I've talked about it a time or two. Yeah, instead of bleaching chemicals, imagine that. They just expose it to the natural radiation and it sanitizes it. Yeah, it's true. It really works. You can do it with your blankets and your clothing too. Hang them out there and it goes, come back all fresh and sanitized. UV technology right in your hands. You're welcome for that little tidbit. I don't know what to say sometimes. Anyway, I'm sure it's a little more complicated than that. I'm sure if you need to sanitize the water, you need to do it a little bit differently. I'm no scientist. That's the true story. I'm a political scientist. But you hear these stories of when there's no sewer, and you say, Mary Chris, what do you say? We're going to risk it sewer? Yeah. Yeah, I am. The bridges are falling apart. The doors are coming off the airplanes. Look at the military. Look at the education system. Look at our healthcare system. Look at our healthcare system, how strained it is. I hear stories all over. I'm dealing with it myself, trying to get in to be seen for my sinuses. 2 months to get an appointment. 2 months. And then you know what? The first thing, how come you haven't seen a doctor? I don't know. Go figure. The whole thing. So you say to me, we'll make sure that the sewer system is going to fail. God, I hope not. But everything else seems to be, I mean, the water, look at Flint. If the drinking water is not being handled properly, what makes you think that the outgoing water is going to be handled any better? And I wouldn't say for a second that there's any expectation that it would. I don't know why you would think that. If we have a breakdown in our sanitary sewer systems, you're going to see problems like you've never seen before. Disease, security. Once that breaks down, everything begins to break down. This circle of civilization, modern civilization, it's a fragile thing. And I'll tell you, I feel like we're pushing it to the brink sometimes and not taking care of things the way they're supposed to. What are you going to do, right? What do we want to talk about today besides me ramble on? Just because it's Saturday doesn't mean we can ramble all day. There's a couple of stories I wanted to share with you. Some of you may have heard by now. As I said, they've been in my file this week, but I wanted to get to them. 500,000 California workers are going to get $20 minimum wage. I wonder if anybody's going to report back to us how this little experiment works out. What were they making prior to that? 15 or something like that? So now $20 an hour minimum wage. My question to you in that equation, what's middle class? Are we making everybody middle class? That's $40,000 a year for flipping burgers. I don't know. Is it a lot of money? Not really. And you know what's funny about this? Everybody wants to bash Chris, but I've been saying for years the minimum wage is too low. I thought they needed to incrementally raise it. They would just kept with incremental raises. It wouldn't have been such a big problem. And this whole crap started before COVID with the minimum wage reevaluation. It was like $7 or $8.50 or something. I'm like, gas is $3 a gallon. I don't care. It's not supposed to be a permanent challenge. Yeah, you got to pay for gas to get there. There's still expenses associated with it. And it's still a business transaction as it is. If both parties are, pick their path, so to speak. But now the government's going to get involved and force $20 an hour minimum wage. I don't know how it's going to go. It's going to be an interesting experiment, I guess. Am I in favor of a minimum wage? I can't really speak to it, I guess. There's a reason why we have a minimum wage. Because, why can't you take what you would take? Well, because there's people that get fooled into things, talked into things. You have employers, you'll work for $1 an hour and you get the tips or you get a bonus. How many bonuses I was promised in my career that never materialized? Like all of them. Yeah, everybody makes big promises on the front end. Nobody wants to pay on the back end. Why do you think smart people, wealthy people, they want to get paid up front? It's the only way to get paid, quite frankly. You wait to get paid on the back end, you get screwed. Just remember I said that. AT&T found over 70 million users' social security numbers on the dark web. AT&T hacked. Comcast was hacked. My mortgage company was hacked. Here's what I want to know. Who doesn't have my social security number at this point? But here's the bigger question. What are they doing with all this? All this mayhem that I've been talking about, all this chaos. How much chaos and problems are created by the fact that you got who knows who having people's social security numbers all over the place? I know during COVID, my wife came to find out that somebody, she was never unemployed, but somebody down in Florida was collecting unemployment benefits in her name. They never recovered that money. Just let it go. We pay, we pay, we pay. A crane, as in picking up pieces of the bridge that fell, with Cold War CIA origins, will help the Baltimore Bridge cleanup. Let's see. I didn't get into this story. I was going to go a different direction with it. The story of the massive crane task of clearing the wreckage of the Francis Scott Key Bridge began with a secret operation in the midst of the Cold War, a billionaire's cover story, and a missing Soviet submarine. Decades ago, the Chesapeake 1000 crane arrived in Baltimore on Friday. It was a key part of a CIA project aimed to recover Soviet secrets in a period fraught with political tension. In 1968, a Soviet hub carrying nuclear-armed ballistic missiles and at least six crew members went off the grid near Hawaii. The United States found it 1,800 miles northwest of the state. Officials thought it might carry valuable intelligence, but how does one lift a 1,700-ton submarine from 16,000 feet below the surface? The CIA took the lead and developed an operation that was codenamed Project Azorian, ordering the construction of a huge mechanical claw to latch onto the sub and a ship-mounted hydraulic system to lift it. Fantastic. The hull was built. It turned to billionaire Howard Hughes, the aerospace engineer, film producer. Publicly, Hughes would appear to be the funder of the multi-billion-dollar vessel for deep-sea mining. But it was all a cover for the CIA operation. Once assembled, its signature achievement was carrying the 630-ton gimbal platform, a stabilizer, and the heaviest item in the process. This is a crazy story that the CIA was involved in and all the cover-up that went with it. Very interesting, right? So if that went on, Howard Hughes is involved. He's saying that, you know, it was his crane and he was doing some exploration. How much of this kind of stuff is going on? How many other lies? How much other cover-up? For example, you know, Bill Gates supposedly buying up farmland. Is it true? Is it a CIA cover? Is he working for the CIA? Who else is working for the CIA? It's absolutely crazy when you think about it. It just opens so many questions. But there's the validity to say, you know, these people say, oh, the conspiracy theorists and MAGA world. Saying right here, the CIA was involved in a crane. They're involved in a crane. I know that, you know, so many people, these veterans I interview, one of the things that many of them are shocked going to Vietnam, that they flew commercial flights. Those planes were likely owned by the CIA. Not necessarily, but I'm fairly certain I flew in a CIA-owned plane. I'm trying to remember from where to where. And I don't remember if it was part of my deployment. It may very well have been. We came back from, flew out of Saudi Arabia, came all the way back to Hawaii. And we flew, I believe it was Aloha Air, you know, it was a commercial carrier, did it all the time. You know, they could move the troops to a safe area and fly in and out of there. They used commercial craft to augment the military fleets. And the CIA has planes of their own. So what other assets do they have? You name it. They probably have their own studios. They could probably create their own movies. They probably do. And then people say, oh, there's another White House and it's all fake. No. Only Putin does that. Only Putin uses body doubles. Yeah, sure. Crews scramble to build a temporary channel for essential ships at the Baltimore port. I was listening to some information about all this. Pretty fascinating how they're going to work out the logistics of all this. And as much as they want to talk about the economic damage, you know, it's actually going to create a bit of an economic boom, I believe. Somebody's going to pick up the tab. And that tab is going to be picked up by the federal government. Said before, look, they're looking for places to put the money. Problem is, you can't, you know, if you try to build a bigger bridge there and get it going quickly, it would get mired down in the nasty politics. You know, it's better off running a boat into it to get anything done. Listen, I'm not suggesting that that's what's going on. You can only wish, right? Probably was a CIA boat that they could pull out their CIA crane to pull who knows what out of the bay there or whatever the bridge was crossing. But they're going to have this worked out, it looks like, as I suggested a couple of days ago. Oh, 5 years, Baltimore is going to starve. And just calm down a little bit. The cars are even getting through. But they'll create this temporary channel. They'll keep it open. And I think that all the money that'll flow in from the recovery efforts, you know, out-of-town workers being brought in, it's going to be a little bit of an economic boom. You just watch. It'll be good for, and resilient Baltimore survives again. Yeah, okay. Amazing what $1 trillion of federal money can do for a local area. One of the guys who considers himself lucky, the last one to make it off the bridge. I find this is all probably intelligence agency propaganda. Why? They just keep them focused on, you know, the people on the bridge. And why is this story important? You don't want them thinking what happened to the money or how much is this all going to cost us? No. Get a feel-good story out there, the guy who made it off. That's the way I see that. Ukraine war briefing. France tells China, speak clearly to Russia about the war. And I find this funny with our news. You know, France is a country, China's a country, Russia's a country, and countries don't speak, people speak. And yet they write these stories like this. And it's, I believe it's some kind of a mind game. I don't know what kind of mind game exactly, but something to it just reeks of psyops. This is an interesting story. Listen to how this is written up. And this is the Gateway Pundit. MAGA favorite Carrie Lake explains her decision to concede in the lawfare defamation case in a move that stuns critics. I don't know why the Gateway Pundit has written this up like this, because it's not accurate. She did not concede the case. She basically skipped over the discovery period, saying, we don't need it. We're ready to try our case on the merits. Most people won't even understand that. I view it as a brilliant tactic to keep from having to get buried in legal fees. You see, and this is part of what Trump is doing. You know, he gets into these legal fights and he's countering and he gets caught up in it. You know, when I went through my second divorce, my wife went a little crazy, to say the least, and I had assets, which was a real problem on a lot of fronts. This jammed me up personally, heavily. The stories I could tell you. And it's a problem. I mean, we had over 3 acres of roof on our commercial facility, several properties we owned, managed, ran, our own business, a self-storage facility that we owned and ran out of there, our own management company, our own construction company. And it was a bit of an operation. And legally in Pennsylvania, she was entitled to half of my half. And here's where and she wasn't going to get that. And she didn't, by the way, because she had never participated in it, never had. We had a prenup, which is a whole story in itself. But here's my point about all this. Once she engaged in what she engaged in, it created an illegal problem. And the normal course of action is, you know, let your emotions get the best of you. And you got the lawyer firing back and this. And I didn't do any of that. I took the long view and I said, I'm not going to bankrupt myself in legal fees. And so I just sat back. You know, they filed their stuff and I would play my little games that they played. All right. They never gave me anything I asked for in discovery. I gave them everything they asked for, but there would always be something missing. Go figure. And it was all part of the strategy. I just did everything I could without me having to spend anything to make it as expensive as possible for them. Every little thing I could. And like, for example, they go into court arguing and make this baseless argument about the tax returns not matching up between the federal and the state. This is a true claim. And it's a very valid reason. It's because the accounting basis is completely different. It'd drive you nuts. And it's you'd be end up, you know, huge tax liability or one or the other. It's such a racket. It really is. And the lawyer knows this. She's trying to paint this picture. I just said, listen, I think if, you know, the lawyer's not qualified to give opinion on tax matters. You're going to need a tax expert. The judge agreed with that, and that shut that down. And at the end of the day, after 4 years of fighting and me spending very little, they gave up. They gave up because they got tired of spending money after nothing. And she even got a small judgment against me, and I didn't pay it. And I made that so difficult that they walked away from that as well. And I just kind of reversed the plan there. Now, Trump has to know this tactic. And I don't know all these cases intimately to speak to it or not. And like in his case in New York, there's assets at risk there. You kind of get roped into defending that a little differently, I guess. But I question the tactics. I do. And yeah, everybody's going to handle their case the way they want. And just simply to say to Carrie Lake, they're going to put that in a negative light. I think it was the greatest thing she could have done. You know, the media is not going to agree with it because the media wants everybody pouring all their money into the machine. The media advertising. Why do you think that the polls are always so close? The media plays the role of the bookie in sports betting, and they're doing is playing off the vig. Biden up 2 points in a close race. Tomorrow they'll tell you Trump has a bit of a lead on Biden. What does that do? Well, when you say Trump has a bit of a lead on Biden, all the Biden supporters go, "Whoa, what can I do? Send me a couple of bucks every time. How about a couple of bucks for Uncle Joe or Uncle Don? He doesn't have enough money. Whew, look at how they're attacking me. The country's going to pot. What can I do to help Uncle Don? Want to buy a Bible?" I like Trump ways better. I've said it. I think Trump's a better fit, but it's all a racket, man. It's all a racket and a lot of money flowing into this stuff. And you got to ask yourself, is it a good source? Anyway, I think Carrie Lake was really smart in handling that the way that she did. And brilliant, really. Save the money. Use it for something else in the campaign and let the case be heard. This is a defamation case, so it's not going anywhere anyway. I got to leave you with this little story I mentioned yesterday. The three presidents gathered last week. Yeah, big talk. Did you see any of this? It was horrible. It was horrible. They had like this, I guess that singer Liz or whatever, the female rapper, and she's up there all ghetto. We got three presidents in the house. Yo, 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 dog. Ooh, ooh, ooh. That would have been the only if Obama came out like Arsenio Hall. It would have been great. Obama, like the new Arsenio Hall. Three old men. They're lucky they didn't fall off the stage. What a joke. What was that Arsenio Hall did? When he would pump his fist and the crowd would start howling or something like that. That's what it was like, the convention of the three presidents. And here's what I wanted to point out. I know I said it briefly the other day. I want to double down on it. Here, they all look kind of lost. Of course, Obama, he's the sharpest one of the group. It's good that we're here today. And people can see all the great things that Joe's done. And meanwhile, Joe and Clinton are over there like stoned out of their minds. And I'm not saying that they were, but I'm saying I don't think they knew where they were. I'm not sure either of the three did. Sounds kind of funny. But the funnier part is, I'll say this, and it's a podcast I'd like to do. Why won't Democrats debate? We don't even hear any substance. Always three presidents in the house. Yo, 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 Arsenio, man. This is how we're going to run the greatest country on the planet. Wow. What can I say? I'll say this. What the hell happened after World War II? It was like the greatest generation, and then the country just went off a nosedive, and it's painful to watch. Almost 7 years ago, I said on this podcast, we better be careful. We're going to wake up one day to a country we no longer recognize. We're here. And I'll ask you this. Is there anything left in this country that you recognize about America that was once a great country that led the world on a path of invention and improvement in quality of life that history had never seen, at least none that we're aware of? And look at where we are today. Three presidents in the house. Oh, yo, yo, yo. Holy smokes. And the whole article is focused on the fact that they didn't wear ties. Maybe next year they'll show up in hoodies like John Fetterman. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow, Sunday. Yes, you heard that right. I hope to see you there. In the meantime, make it a great day.